Just to explain very briefly for those who might be wondering who I am, why I dress like this. It's really just to annoy my two daughters. I was ashamed of a couple over there who for many years were very embarrassed to be seen in public with me. But I am an artist and a storyteller. Actually, I am a Baptist minister by training. But for many years I have sought to take what we value, what we celebrate in our churches, and to take it outdoors and to go into places all around Australia. And I go into schools, into community groups, prisons, hospitals, indoors, outdoors, and I set up my workspace with an art board and some colours, and I seek to just share in a hopefully creative and colourful way the things that we value and know give life. I really am going to be just sharing just one aspect of the Easter message, which we know so well, but hopefully artists kind of, we have this propensity to look at things from a sort of a slightly different angle, and hopefully it'll refresh the wonderful story to our minds and our hearts. But first of all, for those who are young and old, you might be wondering where I kind of learned to do art. Well, actually, I've never had an art lesson in my life, which might explain a few things, but I just always was gravitating, leaning towards picking up a pencil or crayons and to give it a go. And it began in, I remember, the very first year of school. Now, for me, that was grade one. I lived up in Queensland, and my wife tells me that we obviously were a little backwards then, because every student in grade one was given one of these. So I often ask students in schools what they think it is, and it's everything from a from the prototype laptop to a blackboard or whatever. I mean, it could be all of those, but for those in the know, it is a slate. And I can still remember the slate pencils and the squeaky sounds that emanated from our boards. And when you think about it, all our work happened on this one slate. We didn't have to bring a whole truckload of books. We did our writing, and then we got a smelly sponge and we cleaned our slate, and then we did our numbers. But every now and then the teacher would say, all right, you've got a few minutes before morning tea or lunch, you can quietly turn to each other and do what you, just have a chat. But I would grab my slate, and while my friends were talking, I would start to do some art, and that's where it began. And I'm going to show you one of my first paintings. Now, I'm showing you this for two reasons. One, you don't have to be all that smart or clever to just give it a go. You can jump in and start with some shapes and get a nice looking face. But it is a sad face. And the second reason I'm showing you this is I learned early on that art for me was more than just filling in time. It was a way to express how I was feeling. And most days, particularly in grade one, it was fun to be there with friends and lots of fun activities. I would draw happy pictures. But every now and then I would turn up and I'd be feeling a little sad or anxious, and I would express that in how I drew the picture. This must have been one of those days. And kind of, if you kind of link that to Easter, it really is a good story, but it first of all is a sad story. And for those who saw Jesus being laid in that tomb, all their hopes in this one, all their experiences of travelling with him on the road and seeing how he could share God's love and presence just were dashed. But Sunday changed all of that. That's really what I want to talk about, and that's why we are here. But first of all, let me change our picture, because I don't want this to be the only thing you remember me by. And I've got a postcard here. You can just have a quick look. Quite empty inside. Yep. In fact, I've got a window on the front so we can put our very sad face in. And this is where I want you to, it's a bit of colour therapy. I want you to think of your favourite colour. Could be blue, pink, red, orange, whatever it is. And just look at the window. This is where we're focusing our colour. Can you do it now? Can you see something happening? This is exactly what those early disciples saw happening. Nothing was happening in the tomb. But for some mysterious reason, when they came, the tomb had opened. And they started to experience Jesus in a very new and profound way that brought joy and colour to their lives. You might be wondering how that works. That's my secret, and I know it's God's secret as well. So, put that there. But we all share it. And really what I'm going to do now is to do a painting which might, as I said, I tend to do things that might seem a little strange at first, but it will make sense towards the end. Now, is anyone sitting right on the side? If you're having difficulty, I do apologise if I paint on this side, but you know, feel free to move if you want to. But I'm going to begin by creating a shape which is one of my favourite creatures, and I take a lot of my inspiration from the natural world that we live in, which is God's world, where God really gets creative and colourful. And this creature, of course, is?
The dolphin.
Dolphin. Glad you didn't say elephant. I'd be very upset. But the dolphin, I think for many of us, it is a favourite creature, or one of our favourite creatures, and it brings lots of joy when you see a dolphin or a pod of dolphins out in the ocean. And yet there's so much more to this dolphin that I want to share about. And I'd like to just begin just very quickly to tell you about where my interest in dolphins kind of took on a really big leap. And that was, I used to live up on the Gold Coast at a place called Burleigh Heads. And Burleigh is a very kind of good place for surfing. And one of the young guys who was part of the surfing community was out surfing off the point of Burleigh early on Saturday morning when he was attacked by a shark. The shark, fortunately, was only able to take a bite out of his board. He was able to hold on. But he was really worried because he realised the shark was not going to just disappear. It was still hanging around. And he really felt that his life was in danger. And it was right at that moment that suddenly he found himself surrounded by a pod of dolphins. And these dolphins were acting very weird. There was a lot of movement, a lot of crashing in the water as they swam around and around him. And then he realised that what they seemed to be doing were that the dolphins who were on the outside of that circle were peeling off and using their snouts, or I like to use the word nose better, they were ramming the shark and keeping the shark away from him, while the others who were continuing to encircle him were guiding him and shepherding him back towards the beach. And eventually he made it back to the beach safely. And that story hit the media sort of big time. It was just all over the place. And everybody was saying, what an amazing experience for this young guy. And I was one of those. And then I started to follow my interest. And I started to think, is this a one-off event? Or has this happened elsewhere? And that began my journey, and which still continues to today, where I have found that there are hundreds of documented accounts, usually called dolphin encounters, sometimes dolphin rescues, from all around the world, but many of them around the Pacific area, around Australia, New Zealand, and they are all different because they're in different locations to different people, but there's a similarity in that you have someone who's in trouble in the water and who finds dolphins suddenly appearing and helping them. Sometimes it's a single dolphin, many times it's a pod of dolphins. Let me just quickly give you a sample. There is a very famous dolphin over in New Zealand. You can check this one out. His name is Opo. And Opo was a little juvenile dolphin who came to the rescue of a professional fisherman who had been washed off his trawl. I'm not sure why this gentleman was struggling and drowning. Perhaps he just wasn't a good swimmer, or perhaps he had too many kind of clothes on and he was being waterlogged and being dragged down by the weight. But nonetheless, he was going down And suddenly he found himself being lifted up. And as he looked, a little dolphin had come underneath him and was lifting him up on his back and allowing him then to hold on until he was rescued by another trawler. And that happened in a bay called Opahuri, I think, and there's now a statue there of that little dolphin. The other one is called Pelorus Jack. Now we're going back nearly over 100 years, but this little dolphin, for 24 years, would guide ships from the open sea through a very narrow passageway into the protection and the safety of Pelorus Harbour. I read of an account of a young girl down in New South Wales now who was out with her family on an Easter weekend of all times, and they were fishing in a small boat when they were caught in a storm that developed very quickly. Their small boat capsized. She found herself alone in the waters with a life jacket, but not sure which way to start swimming because she had lost her sense of direction. And as she was wondering what to do, because the boat had been swept away from her, she couldn't see the rest of her family, she suddenly felt something brush against her legs. She was fearing the worst. She was thinking sea monsters, sharks. But when she looked, again she was surrounded by a pod of dolphins. And this time they were using their noses to gently nudge her and push her in a certain direction. And she just had a feeling deep down that these dolphins were trying to guide her and help her back to the unseen beach. So she decided to trust them and to start swimming in that direction. They stayed with her, they kept giving her a nudge and a push, and until she reached the safety of the beach. The last little one I'll just give you an account of was the youngest woman who rowed single-handedly. There's one who just did it recently across the Pacific. This one rowed across the Atlantic Ocean. It took her about 80 days, only 80 days of rowing, alone, unassisted. But when she reached, I think it was from America over to England, she was mobbed by the media asking all sorts of questions. And they were sort of questioning her about how did she find the physical challenge. And she said, look, it really wasn't all that difficult because I'm trained for this. You get into a rhythm where you row for 2 hours and then you rest for 2 hours. But she said the big challenge was my mental challenge. She said halfway across, and she said it was the only time that it happened, I was feeling really down, very depressed, feeling like giving up. But she said for the whole day my boat was surrounded by a pod of dolphins. And they stayed with me for the whole day and allowed me to reach out with my hand and to touch them. And she said just having that connection, having their presence there, lifted my spirits and allowed me to change, kind of think through what I needed to do and to continue. And so as I was sort of thinking about these and reading about them, and by the way, please don't go down to the beach and hurl yourself out of the water and expect that it's going to happen to you, because it doesn't work that way. But it does happen so much that scientists have taken in this for a long time. And they have kind of wondered why do dolphins do this, because we're really talking about creatures in the wild who seem to go the opposite to most other creatures in the wild who are afraid of us. Why do they reach out and seek to help us in all sorts of different ways? And they've come up with a number of different theories, which I won't go into now. But in the end, from what I've read, they say, look, it could be a little bit of the fact that they are very intelligent animals. Could be the fact that they are sort of doing what they normally do with each other. They live in socialise in their own pod and they look after each other. They're just extending that net to somehow include us. But in the end, they say we don't know. It's a mystery. And I like the fact that we do still live in a world of mystery. And Easter, of course, is the ultimate mystery. But a mystery is not something that means just because you can't understand it, you can't be part of it. And I just wanted to share just a tiny bit more about the dolphins, in that Whatever is the reason I do this, I think as a visual thinker, and it just helps me try and grasp a little bit of this mystery as we experience it and as we share it. For me, the dolphin and these stories just help me understand it from a visual perspective. Of course, each one of us knows what it's like to be in a storm of life. Each one of us knows what it feels like to be attacked, or to be threatened, or to be endangered. Each one of us knows what it's like to feel like we've really kind of lost our way, or we just need to have a little nudge in the right direction. Each of us knows what it's like to really feel alone, to feel like we're disconnected from all of those around us, and we just need to know there's something bigger and more wonderful that we can touch and be connected with. Jesus is the one, through his resurrection, the great mystery, who continues to do that with each one of us. Now, I'm not saying he's a dolphin, please, but I'm saying it is just a symbol. It's a way of thinking about Jesus and his ongoing presence with each one of us. And I'm not alone in this, because the early followers of Jesus, it took about 300 years for things to kind of settle down with the persecution and the culture that lived in that wasn't very friendly to allow them to gather and to be at peace. But when that happened, of course, they started to paint and they could have symbols that symbolized their belief in the one, Jesus. And one of the symbols is that of a dolphin leaping out of the water. It is a resurrection symbol. And I don't know exactly why they chose it, but I'll just leave this as a thought. It could be just visually they see the action of this dolphin breaking free from the water up into the air, the same as representing Jesus breaking free from the hold of death on that Sunday morning. But also I think they borrowed from their own culture, as we all do. And we know that these documented cases of dolphins helping people went all the way back 2,000 years to Roman culture. In fact, when Romans went out on merchant ships onto the Mediterranean, which wasn't a very safe journey, many of them would wear a little dolphin around their neck, and that was called the sailor's friend. Because even then, they believed that it was the dolphin that would help them across. And they also believed in their storytelling and mythology that it was the dolphin that would guide them across the Sea of Death to the Blessed Isles. Only my thinking here, using my imagination, but perhaps they borrowed from that and they said, Jesus is our friend. He is not just a sailor's friend like the dolphin, he is our friend of all. And he is the one who will guide us and protect us and encourage us and let us know that we are at peace with our Maker, and there is that ongoing connection. That's the way I think they kind of came up with that symbol of the resurrection, the living God. Let me just finish in prayer. We just thank you for this moment that we can take in our busy day, where we can, again, just be part of the mystery and to worship you, thank you, but also as we step out to know that this mystery continues in our lives. Help us to be responsive and to be open-hearted to all your actions in our lives. We pray this in your name.